clock is ticking. We are getting down to, what, maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks, not even, of the legislative session before it wraps up in early May. And let's focus on some of the pieces of legislation that have already gotten approval in one chamber, headed to the next. Let's start with the Connecticut homeschooling bill. It already passed the House, headed to the Senate for a vote. Checking in now with State Senator Jason Perillo, who has talked about the homeschooling bill, not just this session, but last session, where it died in last session, but now it's come back again. And it looks like it's headed to the victory line. Senator Perillo, welcome to the show. Tell us the very latest on this. I know that there were attempts to try to change parts of it, but it sounds like the homeschooling community certainly is still not happy about it.
Yeah, well, first of all, good morning. Secondly, yeah, there have been changes to the bill. Now, let's be clear. I'm not happy with it. I still think it's an overreach. But I would say the biggest change to what was originally introduced. You may remember, Melissa, we talked about sort of what was called equivalent education, where, the homeschool parent had to actually provide, a portfolio of work done by the student and present it to the school to prove that, the student was checking certain boxes in terms of what they were being taught and taught, sort of in the same way as it would be taught in the public school. And then, of course, retain those records. That's out of the bill. So that's a good thing. I think that was a bit of an overreach. And, obviously they couldn't get that past the finish line. So that came out. What is still in the bill, though, is that, any homeschooling family that intends to withdraw their student from the public schools, they have to appear in person. And for every single student who is withdrawn to be homeschooled, the Department of Children and Families needs to be notified and needs to do a check on every single individual in the home. So basically, I don't want to say reported to DCF if you withdraw your child, but that's kind of what's happening. And I think a lot of families are really unhappy about that. They're really worried about it, and I don't blame them.
Do you think, Senator Perillo, if there was significant legislation this session that was a total overhaul of DCF? I mean, really, and I don't even know what that would look like, but say there was a piece of legislation that requires DCF to have monthly reports of what's gone wrong or what's gone right, audits done more. I don't know. Something that was an overhaul of DCF. Do you think homeschooling families would feel so targeted?
I can't speak for homeschool families, but I still would, to be quite honest with you. That's being essentially reported to a state agency. Nobody likes that. There's no real probable cause for it, just because you want to make a choice about how you want your child educated. That said, and you mentioned DCF, and you and I have talked about this a lot, I would have expected the governor's administration to come straight out early on, right out of the gate, with a full reform package on DCF. They've had many failures, not just in the last 2 years, but for the last two decades. We hear about the agency over and over about, failures, losing track of kids, obviously, even worse than that, deaths in the system. You'd think that the governor and the new commissioner of DCF would say, okay, maybe it's time to do something. Maybe we need to get ahead of this. Let's look critically at the work that we do, at the processes we have, and ensure that we're making any changes that are necessary, and that we're working with the legislature to get the things done that need to be done. And I got to be honest, Melissa, that has not happened at all. There has, at least from my vantage point, there has been no effort to reform, make changes within DCF. And 2 years ago, actually, no, a year ago, you and I were talking about this, and I said that was my biggest concern. That would be the biggest failure, is after seeing all the problems in DCF, Waterbury, New Britain, terrible situations, children dying. If we failed to improve, that would be the failure. And right now, we have failed not just to improve, to even suggest what improvements ought to be. That's the governor's job. Leaders lead. And that just hasn't happened. And it's a shame. And if we don't do something about that, it'll be terrible.
Well, and again, Senator Perlow would know. He's the ranking senator on the Committee on Children. So this is something you've been tracking. In fact, it was you and another lawmaker who sat on a Zoom call, I'll never forget, last summer with DCF and spoke with the interim commissioner and or the acting commissioner about this. And so I just want to make sure I've got this right. There's no sort of review package that has been created, discussed. Have we ever gotten, like, so it's funny you say a review package. Have we ever gotten a list of recommendations by DCF of what they need to operate better?
No, if there is one, I haven't seen it. You know, and of course, you know, being on the Children's Committee, working with DCF, you know, I've probably
seen
more
it.
Contact with them than most legislators. And we just have not seen that come. I mean, the closest thing I've ever seen so far to intervention within DCF is a bill asking them to study ways they can improve their processes. The legislature shouldn't have to do that. You're an agency in a branch. You have, you know, the commissioner has the full ability, the governor has the full ability to go in and identify what needs to be fixed. And then if the legislature needs to get involved, to come to us and say, hey, these are the things we need. We need this new statute. We need this more money. Yeah, that hasn't happened. And it's, I'm actually shocked, quite honestly. I'm truly shocked.
But yeah, I would be too. I mean, and so there's a couple of things here where I can understand where homeschooling families feel attacked because, not, you know, I mentioned before that there's no legislation that's being created or no kind of conversations, it sounds like, to create better systems for DCF or even sustainable leadership. We still don't have a permanent commissioner, as far as I know. But also you have to look at the schools. So, you know, it was just earlier this month, there were new charges brought against a former Avon daycare worker. And we've seen abuses happen in the schools. So you sort of question, okay, so we're going to have all these protections in place for people who want to pull their kids out of school, but we're not going to look at some of the other very blatant brokenness we have in the state, including DCF, and even how our schools are run and how we vet people. I mean, let's not even get into, I know there is a piece of legislation, though, that does talk about teachers that have egregiously touched or been inappropriate with students. And there's a piece of legislation, it sounds like, that hopefully will pass in the session this year, that there are no loopholes for that teacher to go to another school district. I mean, I don't know if that makes daycare, or I should say homeschool families feel better, that at least we're trying to attack the public school front of where kids are being mistreated by people in the schools. Does that make them feel any less attacked?
No, it doesn't, because it's actually one of the interesting arguments. You know, we do see all these problems in the public school system, and again, that is not that's not a commentary on the administrators or the teachers who are working so hard. But you know, homeschoolers are saying, wait a second here, why don't you fix your own house before you start knocking down the door of ours? And I think that's reasonable. There are a lot of problems in the public school system, especially when it comes to things like abuse. Like, you know, look, it's fortunately it's not rampant. It's not something that's in the news every day, thank God. But it does exist out there. And you know, we as the state government that is in many ways largely responsible for the public school system ought to just really be focused on developing the best, strongest public school system in the nation. Now, we have a very good public school system, but there's always room to improve. And you know, from my vantage point, I would much rather spend my time, resource, energy on improving test scores in the public school system, improving the learning environment in the public school system, rather than chasing down homeschool families. I think the priorities are a little bit off balance here.
We are chatting with State Senator Jason Perlow out of Shelton. He also is the ranking senator for the Committee on Children. And we're talking about the homeschooling bill. This is House Bill 5468. It did pass in the House and now heads to the Senate for a vote. Has that happened yet, Senator Perlow?
No, we haven't had a vote on that bill yet, but we do expect one within the next few days.
Okay. And at this point, I believe it passed along, because I'm totally trying to keep track. It was last week, it was the homeschooling bill and also the vaccine bill. But the vaccine bill was the one where 12 Democrats actually sided with Republicans against it. It did pass. But this one still passed along party lines, I believe, in the House. I think it did. I'd have to double check.
Yeah, I mean, both bills did. I mean, there were a few Democrats who voted with Republicans on the homeschooling bill, but you know, a handful at best. So it was more or less a party line vote.
Okay. I mean, I think the thing that you mentioned before, Senator Perillo, that I want to kind of touch upon again, I think it's important, is, you know, you were saying that there are other things that we're missing. We're totally missing, first of all, the opportunity to really focus on DCF. And what I think is astonishing is, I think the reason that this homeschooling bill is being pushed forward so much is because we had some of the most egregious cases take place in Connecticut, and it happened to have ties to homeschooling. But let me be clear that I think we overlook. So you had said before, you know, it doesn't happen all the time when you have teachers act inappropriately with students. And sure, that isn't a common occurrence. It's not like people should be afraid to send their kids to school. However, you know, we had a report that came out, what, a month or two ago, that so many kids that have special ed are being placed out of their districts, let alone out of their cities and towns, out of state, that they're being abused in other school systems. We have teachers who have been literally passed from one district to another, totally different towns, and they just continue to allegedly be, you know, have sexual assault cases against them. My point being is we actually see way more of those cases come up than we do kids dying, you know, because they were taken out of school and are now being homeschooled. So my point of saying that is I can't speak as well to homeschooling families and how they feel. But I know, like, having a kid in the public schools, I think I told you about this before. If my kid misses 10 days of school, DCF has to reach out to me and make sure that I'm not keeping my kid from school, I'm not reporting properly. Like, that does happen. That is a current law in Connecticut. The reason I guess it doesn't bother me is because I think that, you know, other than me and my husband, somebody cares if my kid is okay. I feel like homeschooling families would be more okay with, you know, okay, great, you're just checking when I'm leaving the school that I'm a legit person and I'm going to educate them. I feel like they'd be more okay with it if we actually, as you mentioned, cleaned up the houses that need cleaning up. DCF is one of them. And as I mentioned, I think loopholes allowing current abusers to keep doing that and easily jump from district to district.
Well, and look, think about it. If you're the state of Connecticut, if you're DCF, if you're the governor's office, it's just easier to have somebody else fix the problem, right? So, and it's easier to point fingers. So instead of really looking at, and you mentioned special ed is a great example, we send students to other programs, some of them out of state. It's hard work to vet those and make sure that all the staff there is appropriate and good with the kids and the program is strong. It's hard to do that, right? But it's a lot easier to come down on homeschool parents and force them to do things that they weren't doing. So you put the work on them. A, it's the shiny object, and B, it's the easier option rather than actually, like I said before, cleaning up your own house.
But that doesn't actually save kids. It doesn't make them safer. That's my point.
Correct. That is absolutely correct. 100%. These pieces of legislation are chasing the 0.0001%, when in reality, time should be spent in the school systems with our own statutes that impact the school systems themselves to improve quality there, that impacts every single student. Yeah. That's where our time and energy should be spent, not in asking wonderful families trying to do the right thing for their kids to just do more work, check more boxes, and at the same time have their information shared with the Department of Children and Families.
So we have Senator Perillo here. Again, it sounds like they have enough votes in the Senate to pass this as is, but we'll obviously see what happens. Is there anything else, Senator Perillo? I can't believe the session is ending next week. Is there anything else on your radar that you are hoping to see either pass or get fixed or not make it to the finish line?
Well, the biggest thing right now is the budget. You know, Senate Republicans rolled out what is essentially about $1,500 in annual savings related to property taxes, income taxes, true affordability in Connecticut. And the only real response from the governor has been his $200 proposed rebate that would come to us in October. You know, those are two very different, sort of a tale of two futures for Connecticut, where, you know, $200 once versus $1,500 in savings every year annually. I'd like to see a true budget that actually has real savings that leads to affordability, not just a $200 gimmick. I don't think that's going to happen, but it would be nice to see us actually make some progress on affordability.
Mm. Senator Perlow, I want to thank you so much for giving us the time, and we will certainly be in touch. Thank you so much, and I guess we'll see what happens by the end of the session.